All right, welcome back. Here we are to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am chatting with Mark Chandler. He is the managing partner over at Bannockburn Global Forex. Also writes the Mark to Market blog that I read over pretty much every day. And Mark joins me pretty much on a weekly basis to recap the news events and some of the key events to watch for in the following weeks. What I want to talk about here, Mark, is how the recent vaccine news has changed money flows within the markets and overall sentiment of investors. We're not going to get into the logistics around a vaccine or really anything about the vaccine, more so market moves. And let's start off with the rotation that we've seen. FANG broadly has underperformed for the last 2 weeks as we have seen that money rotate in some of these lagging sectors. Let's start there. First of all, how sustainable do you think this rotation is? And do you think it's warranted, the rotation out of FANG into these lagging sectors because of a hope of a vaccine?
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, it's probably at this point, it's probably more than just a hope of a vaccine. The results are promising, and at least two of the companies, right, Pfizer and Moderna, are applying for this emergency use. So things are looking positive. I think that the markets, the important thing I think to take away is the markets are anticipating. So they like price in the probability of a scenario. And the scenario is that the vaccine will be available. And that even though in the short run, Europe, the U.S., North America, many other countries are still having a surge of the virus. So they'll try to look past this near term and what would be the implications. And so besides like what you're identifying, the shift out of FANG, one way to think about it is for so long, how long have we been talking about it, that the value has underperformed growth. And so the idea would be that maybe there's a catch up, so broadening of the market. So you look at something like the Russell 2000, having done better than some of the major narrower indexes, especially those that capture the FANGs. The other thing I think that people are doing is they're concluding that if growth is going to be better, that is, if we get the vaccine, we can begin going back to normalizing things, then the chances of some countries like the UK or New Zealand adopting negative interest rates has declined. And so we've seen both of those currencies, sterling and the New Zealand dollar, respond positively. We've seen the optimism of the vaccine and what that could mean going forward, reducing the need for safe havens. So we did see gold, for example, sell off. I think this is a first back-to-back week loss in gold in about 3 months. And we've seen the yen, actually, the dollar jumped from about 103.30, the 8 month low against the yen, to 105.65 last week, purely on the idea that we don't need the safe haven anymore. This week, in recent days, we've sort of retraced some of that, consolidated those dollar gains. But in general, the market's concluding with a vaccine, less need of a safe haven, less need for other countries to adopt negative interest rates, less need to at least begin taking profits on some of those stocks that benefited from the stay-at-home work environment.
So, Mark, don't you think some of these conclusions that the market's coming to, like a lack of negative interest rates, are getting a bit ahead of themselves? Because if we go back to, let's say, the end of last year, we weren't hearing from central banks saying they want to be raising rates. We were still hearing that central banks were generally concerned about the underlying economy. And now that the economy has really just gotten crushed, and yeah, fine, if we do get a vaccine, why all of a sudden does the economy come screaming back and governments or central banks start to raise rates?
Yeah, it's not so much raising rates. It'd be more like countries like the Bank of, like the UK or New Zealand, that were near zero, and the market was pricing the likelihood of negative interest rates. But I hear what you're saying too, that the market, sometimes we do this, I think, that we tend to truncate time. And that is to say that before we get to the vaccine, that is as early as next month, we should expect further easing by the European Central Bank. And in recent days, the speculations increased the Federal Reserve will do something next month as well. And that something else is shifting the bond buying towards the longer end of the curve. And of course, we're going to get more fiscal stimulus too, though it's not clear exactly when, but it's going to be coming in the U.S. It looks now, I mean, the odds of a lame duck stimulus package were never very great, though above zero. It does look like we have to wait until a new government comes in to get their fiscal stimulus.
Exactly. So that'll be in about 2 months' time, just under 2 months' time. But then why are safe havens selling off if the outlook is still for more government spending, more fiscal stimulus, don't you think? Or doesn't it seem like some of that money should land in some of these safe havens when you consider just how much debt countries have? And the fact of the matter is that they can't withstand substantially higher rates.
Yeah, I think that, like I say, the market kind of like compresses time and then later we'll make these like more nuanced adjustments. But I do think that you're right, that we've got still a long slog ahead of us to get there. And but the, what the markets, I think, are saying is that even though we get the vaccine, that we shouldn't expect that even, and countries have more debt, the debt servicing costs, the larger debt, more than offset by lower interest rates. And so the servicing the debt is not going to be a major problem. And that's one of the highlights of this past week is China. They've issued euro-denominated bonds last year. They came back to the market this week, offered a new euro bond, several different tranches. It's a 5-year tranche. China was able to sell at below zero interest rates. And so at domestically, China's 10-year government bond is about 3.3%. So they were able to raise money at less than zero. And I think this is what people are seeing. Like Italy has been able to raise money at less than zero. That the debt servicing costs led us to continue this game for a little while longer.
Is there just that much money out in the world then that people are struggling to find anywhere to place it and they're still willing to put it in negative yielding bonds? That's crazy to me.
Yeah, I hear you. I think you just have to think about the huge size. I mean, of the money. So imagine you've got an Italian bond and it's coming due. And so the tendency is just to roll it over in those Italian bonds. And so there's some of this captive money. But I think that to your point, this is why some currencies have done especially well recently, beyond what the economics would suggest, like Mexico. The Mexican peso is one of the strongest currencies in the last 6 months. But it's not because the domestic economy is so strong. It's because they have their 3-month T-bill. The CETES yield about 4.25%. So money is drawn to that, to Mexico, not because of progressive policies, they had a strong economy, but simply because of that circuit of capital and that chase of yields.
How does this all play into the yield picture here in the U.S.? Because we have seen, especially the long end, grind higher. I'm not saying that it's screaming higher, but it is generally grinding higher. You look at the last couple of months and the trend is definitely up. So it does play into the whole shying away from safe havens, but how sustainable is that increase in the long end if even you are correct where the Fed shifts some of its focus to buying longer dated bonds?
Yeah, no, I think you're right that it is true that U.S. yields have crept up. You know, initially, after the election, and then again when the Pfizer's announcement, people put on this like it looked like a reflation trade. That is, they sold the long end of the U.S. curve, and yet what's happened in, I'd say, the last few days and yields this week in the U.S. those 10-year yields benchmark is down about 7 basis points, which is among the biggest declines in the world after of course being leading the way up, but that the new sort of scenario that has replaced the reflation story is the idea that the Federal Reserve will buy more long end. So you don't want to be caught short when the Federal Reserve announces, if they announce, that the Fed's going to concentrate its gunpowder on the long end of the curve. So rather than reflation, people are looking at more central bank bond buying. And that's what Australia announced earlier this month. This is what the UK has announced this month, and we'll expect the ECB to do the same thing, step up their bond buying next month.
How does that hold down inflation or this reflation trade if the government's buying longer dated bonds, keeping rates generally lower, and you also see some of the moves that we've seen in oil, copper, other base metals, even steel? Those are breaking out, and that is a sign of a potential reflation or inflation trade.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. That's what's happening. And I think that the central banks sort of welcome that. Remember, even before the recovery, many countries, Japan, Europe, the U.S., the U.K., Canada, were all sort of not plagued, but definitely bothered by the low inflation. And so officials want to see inflation. I'm not sure that higher commodity prices are going to be more than an inflation scare, because it seems to me that most of the, when it comes to commodities, higher prices tend to be come from supply disruptions rather than a surge in demand. What's happening now, though, is there is a demand function, and I think that the demand function is coming from China, whether it's soy, whether it is copper. China seems to be having an insatiable demand right now, building up stockpiles. And the same thing, I mean, the idea that we could get back to normal, I think it also helped oil prices. When I say oil is up like 15% or so in the last few weeks. And so I think this is partly part of the story of the reflation trade, and that by yield staying low, nominal yield staying low, what happens is, I think this is a big boost to extend and strengthen the economic recovery.
All right. Well, hey, we'll see how this all plays out, right? This is still very much a moving target and a lot of forward looking, but that's what the markets do. And the markets are telling us in a number of different ways that the economy is going to get back on track. It's hard for me to believe it right now, as we are living through a time when, in all fairness, more restrictions, more lockdowns are coming, but who knows? Hopefully some vaccine news just gives governments the confidence to open stuff back up. In terms of news next week, though, Mark, wrap us up with what you're going to be looking for, what you think matters.
Well, I think there's one data highlight for everybody, or for all the major countries. And I'd say that's going to be the first look at the Purchasing Managers Index readings for the month of November. And as you know, Europe, risks have increased, that Europe has a new contraction this quarter after a big rebound in Q3. The Bank of England's forecast in the UK economy contracts by 2% this quarter. And we should begin seeing this reflected in the PMIs. So I'd say major countries, watch for the PMI readings, likely to be consistent with a market slowing down of the economies due to the reaction to COVID.
All right, Mark, we're wrapping it up there. Again, you can check out Mark's daily notes at marktomarket.com. I will post a link in that weekend show posting on our website. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed this first hour. I'm coming back on the second hour with a bit more of a focus on the metals sector, diving into some of the companies, some of the analysts that I have on, and some just broad updates. That whole hour can be found on our website, kereport.com. Mark, great chatting with you, buddy. Thanks for your time again this week.
Thanks. Good luck to everybody.